إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبد الله تعالى ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وقال تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ونعم أجر العاملين صدق الله العظيم. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah, the most merciful, the most beneficent, our creator, our sustainer, our nourisher, the Lord of the universe, the possessor of infinite knowledge, infinite wisdom and infinite power. May the choicest of his blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread on his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, fear Allah and be conscious of Him as He should be feared, and do not die except as Muslims in a state of Islam where you are submitting to the will of Almighty Allah. O slaves of Allah, know that indeed the sole purpose behind the creation of mankind and jinnkind, as Allah Himself mentions in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The sole purpose behind the creation of mankind and jinnkind is none other than the ibadah of Almighty Allah, the worship of Almighty Allah. And this ibadah, this worship divides itself into categories, such as ibadah qawliya, for example, ibadah which is verbal, ibadah which are statements, and then ibadah which is related to one's heart, ibadah which is related to one's limbs, ibadah which is related to one's wealth, etc. And from ibadah qawliya, from the ibadah that is related to one's tongue and one's heart, comes the best of ibadah, and that is istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Almighty Allah. Now, in regard to istighfar, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, istighfar is the best protection a slave of Allah Abdullah can get. Istighfar is the best protection to save himself from the anger of Almighty Allah and the wrath of Almighty Allah, the punishment of Almighty Allah. And when I mentioned the best of ibadah, what I meant there was the best of ibadah because Almighty Allah Jalla wa Az, He Himself describes Himself as Al-Ghaffar. He describes Himself as Ghafoor, the most forgiving. And there are many ayat where Almighty Allah commands us to turn to Him in istighfar, commands us to seek repentance, commands us to seek forgiveness from Almighty Allah. And likewise, if we were to look at the lives of the best of the creation of Almighty Allah, and they are none other than the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, their lives are filled with statements where they are seeking refuge, where they are seeking forgiveness from Almighty Allah. They themselves, being sinless, being the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, if they seek forgiveness from Allah so much, then just think how much we sinners, who sin on a daily basis, how much we need to turn to Allah, how much we need to seek forgiveness from Almighty Allah. If we were to take the story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayha salatu wasalam, our parents, Allah mentions their statement in the Quran, Rabbana, Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Oh Allah, we have wronged ourselves. We have wronged ourselves. And if you do not forgive us, if you do not have mercy upon us, we no doubt will become from the losers. Let's look at Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. He prays to Allah, إِلَّا تَغْفِرْلِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي أَكُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Ya Allah, if you do not forgive me, if you do not have mercy upon me, I am going to become from those who have lost themselves in this dunya and the akhirah. He goes on to pray, رَبِّ اغْفِرْلِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Ya Allah, forgive me, forgive my parents, and the dua goes on. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi faghfirli. Oh my Lord, I have oppressed myself, forgive me. Dawood alayhi salam, fastaghfara rabbahu wa kharra raqi'an wa anab. He seeks forgiveness from Almighty Allah. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, Rabbi ighfirli wa habli mulkan la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. He seeks forgiveness from Almighty Allah. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him, واستغفر لذنبك وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات. O Prophet of Allah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, seek forgiveness. Seek forgiveness for yourself. Seek forgiveness for the believing men and the believing women. So naturally, if this order came down to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it befalls us as we are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now in regard to the disobedience of Almighty Allah, in regard to sins, zunub wal ma'asi, in regard to sins, vice, transgression, going against the commandments of Almighty Allah, all of these, the dhunub and ma'asi, no slave of Allah, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, no slave of Allah is afflicted by a calamity. No slave of Allah is afflicted by a trial. No slave of Allah is afflicted by a tribulation, except that it is a repercussion of his wrongdoing. Except that he is facing the consequences of his sins. Except that he is facing the consequences of his wrongdoings and his transgressions. All of these catastrophes, all of these disasters, all of these breaking out of new diseases, all of these problems, these economic crises that we see hitting countries after countries, states after states. We don't have to listen to economists. We don't have to listen to financial experts. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says in a hadith, إن الرجل لا يحرم الرزق من ذنب يصيبه. That indeed a man, indeed the slave of Allah, he deprives himself of his sustenance. He deprives himself of his daily bread by the sins that he commits, by the wrongdoings that he transgresses. By him transgressing the limits of Almighty Allah, he deprives himself from the rizq that Almighty Allah has ordained for him. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, there is no burden, there is no heavier burden upon a human being than the burden of sins, than the burden of vice and transgressions. It may look rosy, sweet and beautiful from outside, but deep within, it is bitter and poisonous. Snakes are a cobra. Sins are a sin. Sins are a snake. A snake with fangs which bites the heart of a believer, sinks its fangs deep into the heart of a believer and injects its venomous poison into that heart. The poison of sin attacks the heart, suffocates the heart and kills the heart. As the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that each time a believer commits a sin, a black spot falls on his heart. We'll discuss the hadith as we go. And sadly, when we see the state of the Muslim Ummah today, we see that sins have become the order of the day. Sins have become trivial. Sins have become insignificant. As we see in the story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, this is one of the signs of sins. The more we fall into the pit of sins, gradually we start losing, we don't even consider sins being sins anymore. They become so trivial. The son of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the punishment of Allah descended. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is on the ark. The punishment of Allah has descended. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam calls out to his son, Ya bunayya arkam ma'ana wa la takum ma'al kafirin. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the believers, all of them on the ark, his son is drowning in the water. He's saying, oh my son, come aboard, get on the ship, and do not become from those kuffar, from those who have rejected Almighty Allah. And you see the reply of the son. The son is witnessing the punishment of Almighty Allah. He's looking, he's seeing the punishment of Allah right in front of him. He knew his father was not building an ark on dry land. That was what they were saying. But then now the punishment of Allah has descended. The water is gushing out from everywhere, flooding every single thing. But look at his reply. قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَىٰ جَبَلِي يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. He thinks it is something natural. He's thinking it's just some other normal rain. Sin has become so trivial. He's saying, I'll climb a mountain and escape this water. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam cries out, قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِيمٌ. He says, there is no escape today. There is no escape today. You can't even climb Mount Everest and escape. There is no escape today other than the ones who Allah has His mercy bestowed upon. And then what happens? وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجِ. A wave comes in between the father and the son. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. And the son drowns. So likewise, many respected elders and brothers in Islam, society today, the Muslim Ummah today, sins have become so trivial, so insignificant. Facebook statuses are being updated as what? I'm at the movies. I'm in a complicated relationship. You are in a complicated illicit relationship. Sins are being boasted, openly put up. Pages of actresses who are half naked are being liked. Actors and actresses who don't even know that you exist on the face of this earth. You're liking them. They don't care whether you are alive or you're dead, whether you are going to Jannah or Jahannam, that's not their worry. But on the other hand, because of them, because of those kuffar, we are rejecting our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May my mother and father be sacrificed for him. We are rejecting him. We are rejecting his beautiful teachings. We are rejecting his beautiful sayings. He who was crying for this ummah, crying for us, his night and day was the same. He cried his heart out for the ummah. But we have a complex to look like a believer. We have a complex to follow the sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find it difficult to lower our gaze. We find it difficult to find the sweetness in salah. We find it difficult to get up in the middle of the night. We find it difficult to raise our hands in dua for more than 5 minutes. We find it difficult to read the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to read the Quran. Why, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam? The root cause, the one and only reason, al-dhunub wal-ma'asi, sins and transgression, transgressing the limits of Almighty Allah, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. Once a man came to Ali radiallahu anhu, he asks Ali radiallahu anhu, Ya Ali ibn Abi Talib, O Ali radiallahu anhu, hurimtu bis salati fil layl, I am deprived of salah in the night. I find it difficult to wake up at night. I find it difficult to pray tahajjud. I find it difficult to make it for salatul fajr. And then he goes on to say, but I don't know why. I don't know why I find it so difficult. I can't lift that blanket which is just 50 grams. I can't lift it off and make it to the masjid. I can't get up and stand in front of my Creator. You know what the reply of Ali radiallahu anhu? He says, Anta rajulun qad qayyadatka dhunubuk. Anta rajulun qad qayyadatka dhunubuk. You are a man. Your sins have shackled you. Your sins have tied you down. Your sins have burdened you. Oh, the one who is deprived from the closeness of Allah. Oh, the one who is deprived from crying out of the fear of Allah. Your heart has hardened. Tears are not flowing. You cannot find sweetness in the Quran. You cannot find sweetness in Salah. Oh, the one whose sins have shackled you, a heavy shackling. Your chains are wrapped around you. You are in a spider's web of sin. He says, Anta rajulun qad qayyadatka dhunub. You are a man, the sins have shackled you. Wa ra'aytu dhunuba tumitu al-qulub. And I observe that sins kill a person's heart. Sins poison a person's heart. Sins suffocate a person's heart. Sins shatters a heart into smithereens. Sins break a person's heart. As my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the heart of a believer is the seat of taqwa, the taqwa of Allah, the fear and consciousness of Almighty Allah. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, you know what a big giant he is. He had a photographic memory. When he used to study, when he used to memorize, when he had a book in front of him, he used to cover one side of the book and then read the other side of the book. You know why? Out of fear that the other side would also be memorized by him just glancing at the book. You don't have to read it once or twice. By just glancing at the book, he used to commit pages to memory, a photographic memory. Having such a memory, he goes to his teacher, and the beautiful poem goes on in Arabic, Shakawtu ila waki'in an su'i hifzi fa'arshadani ila tarki al-ma'asi, until the end of the poem. He goes to his teacher Waki' and tells him, complains him of his weak memory. Photographic memory. He goes and complains about his weak memory. And you know what his teacher advises him? فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاسِ. He advises him to leave sins completely. And then he goes on to say, for the ilm of Sharia, the knowledge is a light from Allah. And that light can never be in a person's heart where sins are in that heart. The light of Allah will never penetrate a heart which is full of sins. The light of Allah will never cleft asunder those hearts. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he beautifully mentions a beautiful statement. اعلم أن الأعمال تتفاضل عند الله. He says, اعلم أن الأعمال تتفاضل عند الله بتفاضل ما في القلوب. Your a'mal, your deeds go up to Allah, they ascend to Allah in accordance to what is in your heart. Your deeds go up to Allah in accordance to what is in your heart. لا بكثرة الأعمال وسورها. They do not go up by quantity. They do not go up by number. Allah says in the Quran, لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها. As we are in the season of Hajj, Allah says that the flesh of the udhiyah, the sacrificial animal, the flesh, not the blood, none of this goes and reaches Allah. You can boast, I gave 500 cows and 300 bulls. None of that goes to Allah. وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى. But the taqwa, the fear of Almighty Allah, the consciousness of Almighty Allah, that is what goes and reaches Almighty Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once pointed to his blessed chest and said, At-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna. The taqwa, the fear of Almighty Allah, the consciousness of Almighty Allah is based in a person's heart. And now we see from the earlier statements that sins kill a person's heart, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. And also if we were to look at some of the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. That ظهر الفساد في الأرض في البر والبحر. That mischief, corruption is prevailing on the land and on water. Why? بما كسبت أيدي الناس. It is because of what the humans, what the slaves of Allah have sent forth. They have earned it through their own hands. They have earned it through their own hands. Allah says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. We do not inflict y'all with a torment. We do not inflict y'all with a calamity. We do not inflict y'all with an affliction. We do not put y'all under tyrannical rulers, governments that do not look after you. We do not put you under any of this. Musibah covers all of that. فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. But rather, all of this, that is what you have earned through your own hands. By transgressing the limits of Allah, by not following the commandments of Allah, by involving yourself in vice, by involving yourself in sin. Allah goes on to say, فَأَخَذَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. Allah seized them because of their sins. Allah took hold of them because of their sins. And this was the case, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us lessons after lessons in regard to the previous nation. In regard to the previous nation. In the Quran, there are so many stories about the previous nation, but sadly, we remain oblivious to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَادًا وَثَمُودَ وَقَدْ تَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ مِنْ مَسَاكِنِهِمْ وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَكَانُوا مُسْتَبْصِرِينَ. عَاد, ثَمُود, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ مِنْ مَسَاكِنِهِمْ. You know about them, it has become clear to you all about them. About them, what, how powerful nations they were, by looking at their dwellings, how they used to carve dwellings in the mountains, how they made their houses in the mountains. They were that powerful a nation. Allah goes on to say, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. But Shaytan, he fooled them, he tricked them, he beautified for them their sins. He made them think that those are good deeds. فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ. And he diverted them away from the truth, from the haqq, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانُوا مُسْتَبْصِرِينَ. But still they were people of perception, they had vision. But shaitan fooled them. وقارون وفرعون وهامان. And as for قارون, فرعون, هامان, ولقد جاءهم موسى بالبينات. And indeed Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام came to them with clear signs. فاستكبروا في الأرض. But they were arrogant on the face of this earth. وما كانوا سابقين. And they could not outrun the punishment of Almighty Allah. And then Allah says, فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ. All nations, we seize them due to their sins. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this is something you and I, we need to fear. As I said, sins have become trivial, insignificant. Our youth, not only the youth, the Muslim Ummah at large, so many sins, drugs, all kinds of illicit relationships, addictions, addiction to pornography. Psychologists mention that the addiction to pornography, it, as it goes on, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it is an addiction like none other. It breaks so many marriages. It is an addiction like none other. In other words, as time goes on, each time an individual views those material, a kind of a chemical releases in his brain and he gets a high out of that. Just like any other addiction. There are even rehabilitation centers for these people. May Almighty Allah save us all, sons and our daughters, from this addiction. And psychologists also mention, as time goes on, individuals who are addicted to that, they need more and more vulgar material to fuel their addiction, to feed off their addiction. They need more and more obscene material. More and more material that removes the haya, the modesty, the natural fitrah that we were created to see humans behaving like animals. And what happens once they come out to the streets, they look at women like objects, like pieces of flesh. They look at women like predators. This is what these addictions are doing. This is what these sins are doing. But sadly, we are oblivious. We don't care about it. We think of those things as trivial. We're not bothered. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, coming back to the nations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them because of their sins. And that is why we see our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he saw dark clouds, he used to rush to the masjid, fearing that the azab of Allah is about to overtake us. Even though Allah had reassured him, what did Allah say? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. That Allah is never going to punish this ummah as long as our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is amidst us. As long as he is with us, Allah is reassuring that we will never destroy this ummah. Even though Rasulullah knew that, his mere existence would save this ummah, he used to rush to the masjid whenever he saw dark clouds. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down two assurances to this ummah, to save this ummah from the ghadab of Allah, from the wrath of Allah, from the punishment of Allah. Two things were sent down. Two protections. One was taken away. Number one, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one. And he has been taken away. Now we have only one more thing. And that is al-istighfar. Al-istighfar. As Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. That indeed Allah will not punish them until there is a person, until there are people who make istighfar, seek forgiveness from Almighty Allah. Until those people remain, we shall not destroy this nation. We shall not send down a punishment. Just as how we sent down the previous nations. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also reported to have said, مَنْ لَزِمَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ ضِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that whosoever takes hold of istighfar firmly, who makes istighfar part and parcel of his daily life, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِن كُلِّ ضِيكٍ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will make a way out of every distress for him. Allah will make a way out of every constraint for him. Allah will make a way out of every problem for him. Today all of us are facing problems. All of us. None can say that I am free of problems and I don't have any stress or tension or depression or whatever it is. All of us have some problem or the other. Rasulullah's remedy, lazim al-istighfar, the one who takes hold of istighfar, makes it part and parcel of his daily life, Allah will make a way out of every distress for him. وَمِن كُلِّ هَمِّن فَرَجًا. And Allah will make a relief from every worry, every tragedy, every anxiety of his. وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. This is the statement of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not my statement or some financial expert statement. Rasulullah says, the one who takes hold of istighfar, Allah will provide sustenance for him. وَرَزَقَهُ. Allah will provide rizq for him from sources, from places he never ever imagined. He never thought, from this place, I would get sustenance from this place, I would get my daily bread from this place, Allah will provide him. These are the benefits and virtues of istighfar, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. So what is istighfar? What is istighfar? Istighfar comes from the word ghafara. As Allah describes himself, ghafar, ghafur. And also another word comes from the word ghafara, mighfar in Arabic. Mighfar means a helmet. The helmet perhaps that you wear on your motor vehicle, or the helmet that you wear in war, that covers you and protects you. So the word ghafara here means to cover and to protect. So istighfar means to seek forgiveness, but it also means to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover us and protect us. To cover our sins, hide our sins and protect us. And in regard to that, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said a beautiful hadith, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, a beautiful hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. It is recorded in Bukhari Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يُدْنَى الْمُؤْمِن on the day of Qiyamah. يُدْنَى الْمُؤْمِن مِنْ رَبِّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of Qiyamah, a believer will get close to Allah, his creator. And then what will happen? حَتَّى يَضَعَ رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ عَلَيْهِ كَنَفَهُ. On the day of Qiyamah, the slave of Allah will get close to his creator, so close that until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places a kanaf over him. And what is a kanaf? A kanaf is a cover of mercy and rahmah, compassion. He'll place a cover, a sitr, a curtain over him. And then, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah will start mentioning the sins of that believer to that believer himself, within that cover, within that curtain. He say, Oh my slave, you did this, you did that, on this day, on this night. We think that it is difficult for Allah to record all of this, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. 10-15 years ago, to think of 1 GB would have been hard. A floppy disk, 1.44 MB was this big. But today, I can have 16 GB, I can have 32 GB, why? I can have even 1 TB, 1 terabyte in my pocket, which can record hours and hours of HD, high definition recording. You have 2D and 3D, three dimension recording. So you think Allah, the creator of the human brain, who invented all of this, Allah who was the creator, who gave them these ideas, you think that it is difficult for Allah to record each and every single event that takes place in our lives? You think it is difficult for Allah to record each and everything that takes place in the privacy of our homes, in the privacy of our rooms, in the dark of the night? Allah knows everything, and everything is kept in record, a secure and firm record. And on that day, everything will be put up on a display, a crystal clear. You have Ultra HD today now, 4000p, so clear. It will be something clearer than that. It will be something clearer than that. And then the slave of Allah will witness each and every sin that he committed. And Allah will say, "Oh my slave, at this time, at this hour, on this date, you did this, you did that." And then what will the slave say? "Ya Allah, Ya Rabb, Arif, Arif. Oh Allah, I know, I committed this, I committed that." And he acknowledges what he did. And you know what our beloved Allah will say, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. And this is not my words. This is not my words. This is the words of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May my mother, my father and myself be sacrificed for him. He says that Allah will say, وَلَكِنِّي سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَغْفِرُهَا. Allahu Akbar. He'll say, "Oh my slave, you did all of this, but I covered every single thing even whilst you were on this dunya. I covered it. And likewise on the day of Qiyamah, I have covered it and I forgive you." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I brought this hadith, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, to show you all the meaning of ghafar, istighfar, to cover and to forgive. Time does not permit me, so I'll just mention a few more things and wrap it up, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. And furthermore, in regard to istighfar, we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself used to seek forgiveness from Almighty Allah more than 70 times a day. Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in used to say that in one gathering, in one sitting, they would count Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making istighfar and seeking forgiveness of Almighty Allah more than 100 times. The Prophet of Allah, who is guaranteed, he is free from sin, but he is seeking forgiveness. Then what about us? Like I said, if each and every one of us were to touch our hearts, we would know all of the sins that we have committed. All of the sins that we have committed. We know that the sins we are in now. We know what the sins that we are committing now. We know how many interest-bearing transactions that we have signed and we are in now. We know of the illicit relationships that we are in now. We know our inbox is already beeping with messages from that girl, that strange girl, from that strange woman. We are waiting for Jummah Salah to finish to go out and reply her messages. We know that we have sent so many friend requests to people that we cannot be keeping in touch with. We know. And likewise, we know of the sins that we have planned for the future. We know of the sins. Umar radiallahu anhu says, "Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu." Take audit of yourself. Take audit of your books before you are audited. Take account of yourself before you will be taken to account. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, I'll finally mention a beautiful hadith, Qudsi, that should actually make us tear. A beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is a hadith Qudsi, Allah is narrating this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ibn Adam," Allah is addressing, "Ya ibn Adam, O son of Adam." So Allah is addressing all of us, inclusive of myself. So let us sit up and listen carefully. "Ya ibn Adam, O son of Adam, Ya ibn Adam, O son of Adam, innaka ma da'awtani wa rajawtani, as long as you invoke me, as long as you pray to me, as long as you supplicate to me, wa rajawtani, and have hope in me, ghafartu laka ala ma kana fika wa la ubali. I shall forgive all of your sins. All of your sins, and I'll not even think twice about it. It doesn't matter to me. It is something trivial to me. I'll forgive all of those sins. Ya ibn Adam, O son of Adam, أو son of Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء, even if your sins reach the skies, even if your sins reach the height of the skies, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرتني, and then you turn to me seeking istighfar, you turn to me seeking forgiveness, I will forgive you and not think twice about it, not look back at it. I'll forgive you immediately. I do not care. Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, innaka law ataytani bi qirabil ardi khataya, on the day of Qiyamah, if you come to me with a mountain of sins, with sins equivalent to the size of this planet, even if you come to me with sins to that extent, ثُمَّ لَقِيتَنِي, and if you meet me, لَا تُشْرِكُ بِي شَيْئًا, without associating partners unto me, you come to me believing in me alone, لَعَتَيْتُكَ بِقِرَابِهَا مَغْفِرًا, I will come to you with forgiveness equal unto those sins. Allahu Akbar. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this is sufficient to show us how beloved, how merciful, how beneficent our Creator is, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. But it is us who have to take the initiative. It is us, we need to take the step forward. We need to turn to Allah. We need to seek His forgiveness. Allah says, as long as you seek forgiveness, as long as you turn to me, the minute you turn, then I forgive. So we need to understand the paramount amount of the sins that we are committing, the evil consequences of our sins, and then turn to Allah seeking forgiveness. And from the conditions of tawbah, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is that we have to keep firm intention that we do not turn back to that sin again. We can't turn back to that sin. With firm determination, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may Almighty Allah forgive all of our sins, accept our good deeds, and unite all of us in the gardens of Jannah. Wa akhir da'waya an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.